today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you to everyone who's calling or clicking the link to listen in today. I'm very happy that you guys decided to check my link and see what's going on. Last week we got into the last half hour of the call, which is actually when I posted an invitation on Facebook. I'd been putting a link up from the beginning. I didn't do it this time. I can just go ahead and put it up for starting at 7:30, but entire family, whether it's Sims, whether it's Rodwell, whether it's Morris, we like to say encouraging words to each other. And, you know, as siblings, everybody's not going to say, and let me correct, because with my age, I kind of blend in with the nieces and nephews too. So as siblings and niece, nephew, aunt type relationship, every moment is not a perfect moment. We're just like plenty of families. We might not be feeling each other at that moment. We might not feel, we don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to look at everything as a perfect moment. We're certainly not a Brady Bunch type. Believe there is a better life form. There is something, there's always something better. And not saying that yours is better than theirs, but if someone is down, then we need to help bring them up. We're just not sharing as we should. We're not sharing. And I feel like we should. We really should. And we shouldn't be afraid to share. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Leave them alone. You don't force yourself on people. I remember if I had a band performance, Ms. Flossie would buy at least 10 tickets every time. There was, if there was anything, if I'm selling cookies, somebody is, there was always that support. I'd have a performance, and there's a whole section of people saying my name. I'm a little kid, and it would just blow my mind. And those things, we're not doing that for these kids. But, you know, I have some friends that I grew up with that went to the same high school, and they would post that they went to a football game. They don't even have any kids at that school, but they went to our school football game to support those kids, and that's the sense of community, that district or your neighborhood or whatever that's called that we did before. You could be sent anywhere according to how those test scores turn out. So now we're going to take this kid that just came out of junior high, never traveled around the city. We're not busing our kids. They got to get on public transportation, or we have to take them to school. We got to send this baby to an environment where we have young adults also. That's another thing that I've noticed and has also been noticed by people I've spoken with. Another thing that's that is very important to me is with our fostering system. You know, it's not easy to want to foster a child, because we get attached to the child. We have to give the child up to their natural parent, and their natural parent is doing all the things they can to manifest. I'd like to see more programs like that across the entire country. For some of our younger ones, or for our parents, our natural parents, with their children in the foster system, you know, we don't want to treat them as if they're criminals or if they're the worst person on the planet. Embrace the moments that they have with their child while their child is in your custody. You know, I got a message. My sound is coming across broken up, so I have to switch, to make a switch. And if you just bear with me for a moment, it shouldn't take more than a minute. Actual minute. Huh. Okay, it wouldn't let me dial in. So I'm going to actually end my
I'm hoping I'm reconnected.
You are, and it sounds better, I do believe.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that took more than a minute, ultimately, because I was still locked in on my headset. So I'm going to go ahead and say that because my computer is 6 years old. My laptop is 6 years old, so it could be something going on with my actual sound card or something like that, because there are ports that act a little janky on here and have done so in the past 2 years. You know, they don't give them a long life like they used to when I bought that Dell in 2002. So, you got any input?
I'm listening to the piece regarding the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So I just jumped on the computer real quick and pulled up a few things. But I'm going to compile a list. I'm going to just go through and look at those links and see what they're offering so we can speak to it a little bit better on the next show. I could do that. Otherwise, not too much at this moment.
The of our four categories, I did spend a little time on health literacy, teeny bit, kind of probably the first 20 minutes. I just kind of blended the whole emotional health, encouragement, and all of that with adhering to your doctor's regimen. I am a very strong advocate to listen to your doctor. They went to school all those years for a reason. And the ones I know personally, they didn't have fun through it. It wasn't like their education was handed to them. You know, that's a struggle. You know, and this is it's a devotion. It is a complete life. It's not just the job. And it's not even just the career. It becomes their whole new identity. They're no longer Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. Their identity is doctor, period. So, you know, and everybody who knows me knows that in certain environments, you know, I might go behind a doctor and say, sure, you want to write that order? You want to look at that again? You know, and sometimes they'll make a mistake, and then there are some who, as they're cutting their eye teeth, don't want to be told anything. And we have to take a deep breath, count to 10, wait for somebody else to tell them. You know, and that happens. And that happens in anybody's career, though. If you're a salesperson or whatever, sometimes you think you got all the answers right away. And then you find out, oh man, I should have researched that a little bit more later. But overall, I bet you one thing, when you don't feel good, that pain hit you good enough, that sickness hit you good enough, are you going to just go to Walgreens and say, I know what to do for it, or you're going to go to the doctor? You're going to go to that person, you're like, oh, doctors, all they do is kill you when you get there. I've heard that so many times.
Yeah.
And I actually sat in a break room one day. I was so annoyed about something that I overheard in a hallway. I said, you know what really bothers me is people act like we're not human. The healthcare providers, the physicians, they act like, you know, we don't get sick too. We don't understand the illness. But they wait until that last thread is broken in their illness situation. They come in, and now we have to really aggressively treat. They don't want to adhere to it. Next thing you know, their family member come in coding, and then they say the hospital killed them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we've been trying to tell you for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, you guys don't know what it's like for this. Well, I don't know. We might, because we are just as susceptible catching whatever infection got a hold of you, which is why I got to wear this mask right now. You know, we are people, and doctors are people. You know, I think I mentioned before, it totally blew my mind one time. I had to have an appointment changed when I was younger, and my mom was like, well, the doctor had the flu. I was like, what? The doctor got sick? How does the doctor get sick? She's like, the funny thing, then see, you know, people who know my mom can be pretty sarcastic. She's like, it's really weird how that happens because they're human. Okay. And he's around sick people all the time. Imagine that. You just don't. You know, you never know what's going on with the next person. We're quick to judge and say, this person got all this and all that going on and they can't help me. Are you telling the truth? Are you telling the truth? I tell you, my younger years working at that ER at Trinity, there was a lady came in, and everything we saw, everything we were getting from her, indicated that there was either mismanagement of a prescription med or there was meds taken that were not prescribed, and we needed to know her history before treating, because if you do the wrong thing, it could send things in the wrong direction. Her sister starts cursing out the doctor, saying, you need to just do your job and stop asking all these questions. So the doctor said, this is my job, to ask questions. And I could tell he was getting really pissed. So I went, I pulled the sister to the side, and I said, ma'am, I understand how frustrating it is, and I understand that you guys want to leave and all that, but I can tell you, if you go the next ER you go to, they're going to ask for medical history because she doesn't have a history here. Now, if you manage to make it to the hospital where she does have a history, that might help a lot. And if you're talking about Cook County, that's a nice little drive from here. So we need to draw labs, and we need to ask these questions about medical history because we can't treat without knowing how to treat. You know, people, they don't want to say what they may have done. The doctor is the one person you have to tell what you may have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that's in that building is potentially toxic. So.
People really, there are a lot of people that really don't pay attention to themselves medically and can't even regurgitate to you what they've been doing. And when they have this surgery or that surgery. And that's really a scary thing. And like you said, how do you treat the person if you don't know what's going on with them? You give them the wrong thing. Now you got to get sued for giving them the wrong thing.
Just to clarify, though, Tim, the date and time of a surgery, nobody cares. If they're aware of the fact that they've had a particular surgery and they know why they had it, that's good enough, it'll be found.
Right.
What I'm talking about is exactly what drugs are on board at this moment.
Right.
Are you on pain meds? Are you on meds for liver disease? Are you on meds for kidney disease? Are you on meds for heart disease? And what are those meds? You know,
right.
And in this day and age, things are a lot easier for people because you can take your cell phone, take a snapshot of your prescription bottle.
There you go.
Which we encourage people to do. Take a picture of your meds. Keep it in your phone. So you go to the doctor again, all you have to do is open up your phone and say, these are my meds. you know, they're healthcare providers who can't even pronounce all those words. So we're not going to charge people with being responsible for all of that,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the age of generic drug administration. But specifically, the physicians need to know where to start. And they could draw a full panel, see what your organs are doing. They could do that. But then there are some tests where those specific tests, the way they're coded, you actually have to have a chief complaint in your diagnosis to justify that test. The insurance company is not going to pay for you to have a hunch because somebody doesn't know how to articulate what they've been taking.
Right.
There's no reimbursement for a hunch. You know, there was a guy that came in, and this was probably his third admission in a 5 or 6 week period, same symptoms, essentially same chief complaint. So I went over to him, and I said, "Hello, sir, welcome back." I said, are you having any?" I said, "I understand you have shortness of breath." And he said, "Yes." I said, "Are you having chest pain with that?" And when I said that, I was nodding my head up and down. Yep, I'm saying it out loud. And he said, "Well, a little bit, actually. It kind of hurts around the top when I take a deep breath." I said, "Good, we need to order an EKG. Remarkably enough, we actually did find a vascular problem for him. That shortness of breath wasn't specifically limited to his COPD. We did have a vascular problem for him, and ultimately he ended up getting an angiogram, and we didn't see him again for at least 6 months. People don't always know exactly what to describe when they're going into an emergency room situation. I don't care if y'all think I'm being sexist or not. It's typically men. You guys don't want to say everything that's wrong. So we have to pull it out of you. You know, we have to actually pull it out. And, you know, I'm looking at him and I'm watching his chest excursion, as we will call it, and I'm listening to him. I got very little breath sound. And I'm just looking right at him. And, you know, I know I have kind of a stern way of talking, so he felt obligated to completely answer me. You know, "Are you having chest pain?" And he's like, "Well, as a matter of fact," and, you know, "good, get that EKG going." And we found another problem. We can, you know, that's not always going to happen. It's not always going to happen. And you got, you know, I try to make sure people understand, explain exactly what you're feeling, and talk about the meds you're taking. Take a snapshot of those prescription bottles at home. Take a snapshot. Take it with you to your next clinic appointment. You know, and understand the things that we do in the clinical setting are not typically things that you can do on your own at home, so that's why you have your prescription arranged a little differently by the time you do go home. You know.
I don't think.
Welcome back, Mr. Pianchi.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just excellent.
Have
you been checking out all these jobs that's out there that's available in different agencies and that?
They're all over the place. I've seen that.
Yes.
It's from warehousing jobs to entry-level data entry to sales and marketing to mortgages to healthcare to everything.
And there's a lot of jobs with the U.S. services, USAID.
Yes.
You got jobs
USAA,
at the United Nations.
That, you know what, I'm glad you said that because I actually have a list that I was going to mention.
The Customs and Border Protection is having a seminar let's see, April. I think it's in May. Because they are hiring people for monitoring the borders.
Of course. Oh, boy. Imagine that.
Yeah, I might even come back into the workplace or something like that.
Four.
You got the National Society of Black Engineers. They up to like 6,000 engineering jobs on their website.
Nice. Nice. We, there are a lot of, I know we have people who've gotten their careers started and want to take a new direction, who can move into new careers and things like that. I want to also be able to provide opportunities to people who are just starting out in life, who are starting over after not being in a work environment, whether they were in the military, whether they've been a stay-at-home parent, or just if this is their first time out. I've been kind of privileged in my career path over this past, it's actually more than 30 years total, but my specific position hitting 27 years on May 23rd is, and the places I've gone to, most of those places I was invited. Well, I won't say most, a good third, I was actually invited to work there. Or I was able to network with someone and say, hey, can I come work with you? And was welcomed. You know, that people don't experience those things. And, you know, it's a, people are nervous, they don't know how to create their resume or their CV. Don't even know what a curriculum vitae is. I created one for my son because, you know, at 17 years old, he's never had a job before, not a real one. You know, so we're going to do a CV for you, dude. We're going to do all of your high school activities and things that you were involved in, the grass cutting, the helping me work on rehab, the getting up on the roof and checking out sore spots and things like that for the roofing company. That's going to be on your CV. It would be nice to create a movement where we work with our youth in creating CVs for them, so they'll know how to prepare themselves and move into actually having developing a resume, because now we can develop a history of, I do have a certain skill set. Mr. Pianca, you mentioned before that with us actually working with our youth and teaching them true skills, teaching true skill sets. And there was a young lady and a guy I'd met before. They operated a group home environment for people who were suffering with some emotional and mental challenges and getting back into work life. And unfortunately, they weren't functioning probably a year after they got me involved. But what I did for them is I created a policy and procedure for developing skills for whether it's plumbing, carpentry, electrical, and reaching out to some of the union stewards and some of the actual companies who train to offer to volunteer time to go to their environment and try to teach those skills. And that would be something nice to do with our youth. You know, I remember my high school years, the vocational school, they did aviation, they did auto mechanics, they did so many different things, and I don't see that. And it could, maybe I'm just not exposed enough. So I don't want to speak as if it doesn't exist, but it certainly isn't in the forefront of our conversations when we're going to have coffee at Starbucks. you know.
Well, you know, you was talking about preparing your student. I prepared my grandson with a list of things that encompass his extracurricular activity. Of course, his volunteer service and his awards and honors. And also his work experience. So you got awards, and I'm looking at it right now, awards and honors, awards and other activities, his work experience, his extracurricular activity. And let's see the other one here. What is it? What is it? What is it? Should know. Yeah. That's basically what it is. And that's something that you should start early as you possibly can. With your community service and volunteer services, B. Extracurricular activity, community service and volunteer service. Extracurricular activity, of course, is sports, intern leadership programs, student ambassador, and, you know, get involved in any association of the activities that they present, because, you know, sometimes you may apply for a scholarship with the association. As far as the community service can be, you know, get involved with Boys and Girls Clubs, St. Louis Public School, libraries, participating in tutoring at the library. You know, libraries have programs that they allow students to come in and get involved in. And youngsters, you know, my grandson, when he was young, I think he was 12 years old, he participated with a organization here that dealt with a delinquent fathers, believe it or not. Father support program, where they provide support to fathers who don't know how to navigate their way through situations, whether it's the courts, trying to find employment, just trying to be a good father. So here you have a 12-year-old that's interviewing and also making suggestions to someone that's in their early 20s on what they should be doing.
And they get to see it from the perspective of a child. That actually, I can see how that could prove to be very helpful and eye-opening. You know. And I have to say kudos to those young men who are the fathers for the fact that they were willing to listen to the words of a child.
I began in December of 2010 in the 8th grade and volunteer on every Monday for 2 hours. I have completed a grand total of approximately 50 hours of community service for the Father Support Center. Mr. Chester Dean. Yes. So, one other thing, you know, if you have a problem in your community, say, like guns, and you want your children, young people to know what to do if they see one land, how to stay away from them, keep your hands off them. Where the Eddie Eagle program, which is put on by the National Rifle Association, does just that. It has a program. It has handouts for grade schoolers, kindergarten to grade schoolers, and it teaches the students that if you see a gun, it's supposed to stop, don't touch, leave the area, and tell an adult. And it's exercises that's designed in order to instill that into them. They can go from school to school to school. And actually, the school district would pay for the materials, too, because there's scholarships available for school districts that where they can get the materials that's involved in the handouts.
What's the name of that again?
That's Eddie Eagle.
Eddie Eagle.
Oh, I think I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah,
he's been involved with your organizations, you know, like your National Black United Fund, the Black United Fund, should I say, which is a charitable organization that raises money for other organizations that's designed in order to help address some of the concerns of the black community. Mm-hmm. I was a member of the National Black United Front. He was a junior member. He attended the conventions, attended the workshops in Kansas City. And during Kwanzaa, they have a citywide Kwanzaa celebration. He'd come up and help set that up, play drums for either that event or play drums for the local church. So there's so many things that young people can get involved in that would give them experience, which would develop them into leaders. And
nice.
So here, we also on the awards and other activities, he's got 17 of them here. Everything from Jackie Robinson Achievement Award for the City of St. Louis, all the way down to the Suit and Speaker at Cardinal Ritter 2015 Gala, the high school he graduated from. Him and another friend, they participated in the state debate where they debated a case in front of a sitting judge against other schools on a particular topic.
You know, that's really encouraging for high schoolers to hear about and learn about, and our parents to hear about and learn about who would put the link and listen in. I know in the Thornton Township School District, there are students doing debates and things like that. The thing that bothers me is I haven't heard any parents talking about these things going on in the Chicago public school system. And that's my biggest soapbox. The thing that bothers me the most, because that's the school system where I grew up. That's the school system where I learned. That's where I fell in love with science. It's the so many programs are cut. I haven't heard anybody talking about debate. There's no more speech class. There's no more public speaking. There's a whole new dialect that I just say, you know what, I can't. You try to relate, you want to listen, but it's hard because I'm not sure if what you're saying is positive or negative. The words that we used to use are negative are all positive now, and the words that used to be positive don't even exist. And, you know, and we're trying to get, we used to take what's called language arts. You know, aside from our English class, we took language arts. We knew what a thesaurus was. I just bought one for my grandson. He turned 8 today. We got a thesaurus. We got a book to show exactly how to use punctuation in writing, along with a few other things that he likes, like scientific stuff. It's just reaching out to all of our community. It would be nice to have a system of things that flow through every single one of them. And we demand that all of our children have access to these specific programs.
And you know, I was going to, I had a few more. He has 25 honors. I'm sorry, 25 certificates from Algebra 1, what he done in 8th grade. Ancient World History, Leadership, Composition, and Grammar, Chemistry 1, Theology 2. He had a Biology certificate, Physics certificates, college-type literature, English certificate, like you mentioned, umpiring certificate, where he could umpire in baseball in the summer. So those are the things that, you know, that's not all. That's things you have to get your child involved with. I mean, in many cases, these things aren't free. There's a lot of free things going out there. Your local college, your local university, I don't know, you there in Chicago, I think, University of Chicago, they have lecture speakers, and the events are open to the public. Take your child to those lectures, and they can see how people make presentations in front of crowds.
Right. I can tell you, I can share with you When I was in grammar school and high school, I was in a program when I was in seventh and in eighth grade where I took classes at the University of Chicago. You reach certain scores with your, you know, your statewide testing, and you become part of that group that can go and take those classes. It was really weird and foreign to me because we actually had to catch the city bus, so I was really clinging to these kids I'd never met before, my first time in this junior high school. And I was, you know, I was very shy, but it was amazing that I was at a university at such a young age. In my high school, at high school, I was part of the history club. I was part of the science club. I was part, of course, I was in the pom-pom girl. I was a flag girl. I was on track. I played volleyball. I was in three bands. I was in Future Business Leaders of America. There, you know, if I could join it, I was in it. But I had the spirit to do that. And it was encouraged by my parents. Welcome back, Maurice. High school, also, same school. This guy, I mean, you know, we weren't playing tennis in the black community, but he was on a tennis team. You know, we had a golf team. There are things that went on that we were, the things that we're not seeing all the time in our communities, but our school had these programs and they've been cut like crazy. Gym, just gym, PE is cut now.
Wow.
Band programs are cut. You can have maybe one band, and you probably have 30 pieces in your band. We had 100 and something pieces in our concert band.
Mm-hmm. And that shows at the college level.
Even more. Right. Right. Our marching
band. When you see these college teams, you don't see them other than a historical black university and college. You do see blacks, which I'm happy to see. But in the other colleges, you don't see them there. And they're talking about closing these HCBUs. So what you're saying is absolutely right.
I just thought it was a rumor. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty sad. You know, it's pretty sad. I don't know if it's an issue with funding, donations, volunteering efforts, or whatever is going
on.
Well,
one of the issues with them is that the children aren't coming in prepared. It's not their fault. It's where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have these low graduation rates, you only have 5 HCBUs that have a graduation rate, 5 or 6 that's above 50% 6 years. You have some as low as 13%. So when times come to decide which gets what, you know, they're going to look at that very closely, very carefully. Then you don't have much endowment contribution from former graduates. And then that may be because of the subjects that they take. I don't know. But, you know, if you're not making a lot, you don't have a lot to be able to set aside for discretionary giving. And that is, you know, it's quite obvious.
You know, I've seen a lot of what I used to call the cop-out majors, where it seemed like all through the millennium, a number of my nieces and nephews who were preparing to graduate from college and people my kids' age even, they wanted to do, I'm just doing general studies or I'm just doing a business major so I can be done. Their whole goal, I'm just going because I was told I have to go to college and I just want to be done. There's no grooming for an actual career. I wanted to kick my daughter in her knees, in her little knees. She went to school for a biology major. She had a great GPA, 3.78. I talk about it all the time. Then she left and joined the Air Force just as she's getting to her junior year. I'm like, who was talking to you? What just happened here? You know, she's like, well, I want them to continue to pay for my education. And here we are 10 years later or something like that. 15 years later, 18 years later. Gosh, she's old. that chick in her 30s. But
what did she go on to do?
She went in for biology major. She wants to be a biologist, and she thought I'm going to go for anesthesiology after that. I'm going to get my biology major first, and I want for anesthesiology. She's on it, you know, she's the science medical. She went and joined the Air Force, went into mortuary sciences and something else, and hospitality. I'm like, that's weird. She's like, well, nobody else wanted to do it, so I did it. Okay, all right, you know what? Now that you're an adult, I guess I can't tell you what you're supposed to do, but I think you're being kind of weird. But now she's groomed herself to where she can build toward a six-figure income, but she took so many odd routes. And, you know, and I talked to her recently, and I said, well, don't make it just a goal to have a six-figure income. Make it a goal to have something you can be excited about, to have something you can share in. What I do doesn't pay six figures, but I love it. I love my career.
That's very important.
Well, you know, I take the young people to the Social Security site.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can go and you can do a what if. They have calculation pages there where you can do what if and what you have to put in order to receive an X number of dollars. And you can exactly see. And I say, this is what you got to put into this in order to be able to get this out at this time in the future. And
yeah,
that
you
lets
know
them
the,
know the
my
importance.
My sister did that to me. Yeah, my sister did that when I was smaller. My siblings are a little older. And I was probably 12 or something, and she showed me something. She was working for the government. And she showed me how Social Security income later is calculated based on what your work hours are. So she showed me how all of that was, and I had to have been about 12 or 13 years old, maybe. And I couldn't help but think, oh, my God, I'm going to have to work so hard. No, I wasn't. I know how. I was 14. I was working on an ice cream truck, and I was making $10 a day. It was $10 a day working on an ice cream truck. So I was thinking about what I make at that age, and I wouldn't have any kind of money for Social Security if that's how the little money I would be making for the rest of my life. Yeah, it was it was something. Yeah, she's been a revenue officer for 30-something years. She was a federal police officer before that. So she was showing me all of these little ways of working toward your retirement. So that actually had been on my mind since I was a very young person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to be able to let share with our kids. You're not going to be 12 forever.
No, you're not. And then you have, like I was mentioning, the U.S. services agencies like USAID,
mm-hmm.
the Peace Corps, and
mm-hmm.
other government services, made mention of the United Nations. Those jobs require a degree, a bachelor's degree, or whatever you can muster to have.
Mm-hmm.
You can look and on their website and see what they're looking for, and they just about do everything, really, from engineering to health to management.
Uh-huh.
And you have to start early. You have to start early with a young person. Person should be is multifaceted in different skills, different areas as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Just look, if you attend college and you carry 17, 19 credit hours is a lot. But if you was a manager to do that for 2 years, 17 a semester, which is about 34 a year, you do that for 2 years, you got 60 some odd credit hours. You're halfway through your degree, but also mm-hmm. you meet the qualifications for working in some of these other government agencies like FBI, police mm-hmm. department,
62 credit
fire department.
Yeah. Yep, Chicago and, Police Department, 62 credit hours. Sure do.
I want to go back to like preparing the youth, and then the thing you said, Sean, about the cop out major. So those things that you were mm-hmm. talking about, Mr. Bianchi, are all very important. And then it's the actual classes that our kids are taking as well. And what's coming to my mind is all of these major companies have co-op programs. But if you don't have your activities documented and you've been taking these crap classes, you know, it's a competitive thing. There are other people trying to get into those co-op programs as well. And if you
Absolutely.
Don't have your stuff together, then you're not applicable, really. And if you can get in, if our youth can get into those programs, they now have their foot into an AT&T, a Verizon, Sprint, all of the big tech companies and other companies as well, the legal companies. There's all kind of co-op programs out there. But you got to be able to compete.
Well, as far as keeping records, I kept a log. We kept a log on what he'd done. And we got mm-hmm. pertinent information about the people that he was involved with, whether their names
yeah.
and telephone numbers, for sure. The name of the organizations, the dates, and the you know location of that organization, what he was doing, the name of the person that was he worked under or participated under, and a cell phone contact number. And that's mm-hmm. all included in the resume package mm-hmm. that a child would be ready to present. Those come in necessary in scholarship applications. And if you have it real nice and neat,
mm-hmm.
yeah, real nice and mm-hmm. neat, where an individual who's looking at your application, all they have to do is just, you know, do a couple of flips and see everything that's presentable, and they want to check, they can. I mean, look at this. Look how much ahead you are of someone else. And I think last week, you know, you should have your child do an essay at least once a month or once every 2 months and just store it on your computer.
If you could just ask my kids about any time they took me off, time to write an essay, you're going to explain to me what your thought process was and why you said that or why you did that action, what does that mean to the next person? You're going to get me an essay. After a while, they were mm-hmm. done with the essay. My house became very quiet and peaceful.
And look at scholarships. Yes, go to United Negro College Fund, the website. Sign up so you can be able to log in. And you can look at these scholarships. And when you're young, a grade schooler can look at these scholarships and see what essays are they asking, what topics,
mm-hmm.
what
right.
world events. You know, they may ask how you participated in a local movement. Well, guess what? Now you know, so you're going to have to get involved in a local movement and keep a diary of exactly what it is that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
The people you met. Try to get with some historical people, some people that's going to be in the news for a long time and is going to be in the back of people's mind. Like here in St. Louis, you had Percy Green, who climbed up on the arch and wouldn't come down because they said they wasn't hiring black people. He was a nemesis to McDonnell Douglas. He was a nemesis to organizations here that was racist and was segregationist. So my grandson got involved with him in some way or another. Norman Say, mm-hmm. who's done many demonstrations. So you have to plan today for your 10-year-old for what they're going to need when they become 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny because my grandson told my daughter recently, because typically they, you know, he's been the summer, and they do things and all of that. He said, Mom, I'm only going to spend a month hanging with you. I just want to make sure I see Grammy for a little while because I'm going to go on this, I forgot what he said it was. I guess a sabbatical type thing with the men's group at church because, you know, I'm 18 now. So I joined the men's group. But, oh, wow. He's making his decisions and making his strides to do his own thing. and he's a very compassionate guy. You know, he was a hellion as a toddler, but he's a very compassionate guy now. You know, and he's very giving. He's very concerned about people his age. He's very concerned about the future of our community. You know, he tends to talk to me like I'm slow or something. I think he thinks I'm really old. I don't know, but you know, I guess I do get information about his other conversations and what he's involved in, what his interests are. So, you know, and it's encouraging to see someone so young, so aware and so involved. But I'm just going to say it became natural because that's all he's been exposed to for, you know, looking out, reaching out toward our community. Our kids aren't exposed to that encouragement because they don't have that that post-secondary education in their household. They don't have that person that experience seeking out scholarships in their household. They don't, or in their sphere of influence at all. They don't, you know, and I want us as a people to develop programs, develop networking where we can become more of the sphere of influence and rebuild community the way community used to be. I mentioned earlier when we had a band performance, I mean, we played at every football game, the marching band did, and every spring and every Christmas and every Easter, the concert band did some big extravagant concert. And the jazz band, we went to Chicago State, we did different things, smaller group, or we'd go out of town. Miss Flossie, Miss Helen, about four of those women in our community would always ask my mom, when's Sean's next concert? When's she going? They'd buy at least 10 tickets. You know, there's always that something that everybody's involved in. And, you know, right now our kids aren't getting that. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have that. My mom didn't sit on the porch and talk with these ladies all the time. You know, I don't know how things would be if my parents weren't encouraging. If my dad didn't say to me, I don't care how old you get, how long it takes, never stop learning. They'll let anybody tell you what you can't do. There's nothing you can't do in this country. You know, to repeat it and to say it almost like, don't you say anything negative to me about I can't, because that word doesn't exist. We are I can. This is can do right here.
And, you know, you got to plan ahead, like I said before, even in saving. Some states will allow you to save X number of dollars per month. And by the time your child becomes ready to go to college, they can go to any state college free.
Okay.
Texas does it. Missouri has programs. I think Texas programs is $135 a month. And you can go to any college in Texas for free, state college, Texas A&M for one. So those things you need to know. Every child is different. And you can either let them show you that they're different, or you can put them through drills, you know, not consciously do it, that they know what's going on, but you can
right.
Do these things for your own observation. I know of people in Megawale, the mathematician who was instrumental in the direction in which computers have went in the world, his father used to give him 100 math problems every day, starting off young with simple math problems up to complicated math problems. And he got to a point where he had to stop because his son was smarter than him. But that's what you have to do. A word list. There's some organizations that puts out word lists that every young person should know. It may consist of 500, 750, 1,000 words. where they know how to spell them, they know what the meaning of them are, and how to use them appropriately.
Yeah.
Community colleges, courses. Community college have all sorts of courses that revolve around many subjects. Conflict resolution, this, that, and the other in the workplace. Courses that improve skills from math to speed reading to writing stories. Getting involved in doing math or chemistry and so on and so on and so on. So those are good outlets.
Some of us adults need that.
Yeah, those are some things a young a child, even elementary, I believe they let them enroll in some of these courses. They're not expensive. Some is as cheap as $25.
Yeah. Well, I want to put this plug out here again. I want to talk about Ms. Bernadette Lawrence, superintendent, board president, rather, for the Thornton Township High School District 205, who what they've done was develop a program for second chances, ages. I'm hearing a lot of background noise of activity, but the their ages 17 to 22, where you can go back to school, and it's hosted at the at Chicago State University and for their high school diploma. She's also working toward developing programs where we can get more children involved in the sciences and piquing their interest and motivating and encouraging them to really develop a joy and a sense of accomplishment in the programs they get involved in. Her email address is lawrence.bernadette@district205.net, lawrence.bernadette@district205.net. That's kind of one of those steps that I really felt are important for our youth, because they feel hopeless. They feel hopeless, and they'll look on TV, they'll see something, they see somebody successful in their age group in what I call the battle arena of TV. That's a reality TV show. That's what they're looking up to. When you actually can look further than that. So I saw somebody put that up and said the new black on black crime, and I was like, "You are so not lying. We're gonna put our young adults on TV and make them insult each other and fight and bicker and treat each other in ugly ways instead of putting something on television that's encouraging and uplifting."
Yep.
But they see that. That's what they idolize. And they, I'd like to see more actual programs. I was, again, mentioning Trinity Hospital. Before Advocate became Advocate, they used to be called Evangelical Health System. And at one point, Evangelical Health System was involved with the public broadcasting services and doing fundraising for community health reasons, things like that. And so we were actually on Channel 11, Channel 11 here in Chicago, WTTW, Public Broadcasting Service, and we were doing a fundraising. And it was really, I felt really inspired, and I felt like I was a part of something really big that our hospital is doing that for our community. And the I don't even see a whole lot with PBS going on these days. They show things like, they show foreign films. They show a lot of, you know, that's when we saw Doctor Who. I was in love with Doctor Who, by the way. Not him, but the show. There was there was so much that was going on. We don't see that. Donate to public broadcasting to bring informational broadcasting into your home daily. But we pay $263 a month to have cable to watch all this food.
My goodness, how much?
Yes.
We had a cable bill once.
That is, wow.
Yes.
But you,
yeah. You know what? The only thing I have is internet. And the internet that I have, we paid $19.95 for. Now it's up to, they say the start off is up to $64 now. But it's no way
what?
In the world I'd pay $250 a month to watch TV. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, typically the people that are paying it, they don't watch that much TV. That's the other part of it. You can't.
And really, I'm not talking for anybody else, but I don't have time to watch TV.
Right.
I really don't. I just don't have time for it. There's so much other things to be involved in. There's so much other things to explore, the research, the read up on, that I don't have time to receive that knowledge from watching TV programs.
My TV only had three channels. It had the sports channel, it had National Geographic, and it had Animal Planet.
Mm-hmm.
For that cable bill every month. That's,
and they charge you $260 for that? You need to get one of those fire sticks.
I'm actually being facetious because, James Williams only put it on those channels. I'm like, I'm so not sitting there watching that.
My banker told me that I need to, I don't use credit. He said I need to because, that's the way they do nowadays. They rank you on what you paid. So I got a credit card from there. I had one anyway for travel, when you go to motels,
mm-hmm.
fly on planes, so forth and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I got another one for grocery shopping. And I used to just have everything on debit card. But I'd done a purchase. I bought a used car for my grandson on mm-hmm. credit card. And I was going to pay it off, gradually. But, heck, they charged me $60 a month for – they've done it for the last 2 months, the second month here, really. And I said, man, I ain't going to do this. I'm just going to pay that damn thing off, then pay myself
mm-hmm.
the monthly payments back where I took the money from. It's no way in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I just cannot stand paying interest to somebody else for using their stuff. I just can't.
Right. Exactly. The just having the whole goal is for that industry to have a reason to convince us that there is a reason they exist, to convince us that we need them in order to feel important or as upstanding citizens of these United States of America.
Absolutely.
And that's a lesson itself,
isn't it? have you an amortization schedule on a mortgage? If you don't have one
uh-huh.
yourself personally, you can get one off the internet. It shows the loan amount. It shows the payments as they're broken up with the principal and the interest. And show that child
mortgages. So I
show them what we talk about. Show them how that interest is maybe on a $300 a month house note. You're paying $290 toward the interest and $10 toward the principal. Show them that.
Exactly. Yeah, I had somebody, I was selling them a house, along with working at the hospital. But I, found myself raising my kids by myself, so I needed more income. So I became a realtor and then started selling loans too. But I had somebody actually have me break down exactly what those payments would be if they did this house or that house, and what would happen in 15 years as opposed to 20 or 30, and what other options did they have. Fortunately, this person had plenty of options, and I said, it's not up to me to tell you which option to take. This is your financing. This is up to you. But I have no problem telling you every little detail. I'm not that realtor that said, well, it'll only be about a $5 difference in your note. I hate it when people said that to people. No, I want to show you actually what the dollars are. Here's my calculator. I'm going to show you where that, what that rate is and how it changes all the time. By the way, even though you have this particular rate that you're locked into, when you sign that document, every minute of the day, that rate is going through waves and changes and waves and changes. So the banking system, the Federal Reserve Bank, is doing its own thing with that money as it sees fit. Every moment of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And those things, those are things you have to tell them and show them, demonstrate to them early on so they can understand exactly. Get them some Monopoly money and give them an X number of dollars. Give them a year's worth of salary. Put it in their hand. Then start taking it out as it applied to these different areas of debt. And they will soon see what they got left.
And instead of paying my bills the way I usually did, I actually took the money out of the bank, put it in her hand. Her eyes are big as saucers. She's like, wow, that's a lot of money. I said, okay, you have to pay the rent. You have to pay the utilities. We have to get some groceries and a few things for the house. And then what's left, I'm going to have my money to make it to work for the 2 weeks. And then the rest is for you guys. She said, okay. So when it all came down to it, she had about $68 left for me and them for 2 weeks. So that's why when mommy says, I don't have any money, when you have something going on and we have to plan for these things in advance, now you see why. I wanted her to see exactly how that money went.
Then,
exactly.
By doing that,
I didn't bust out it or nothing. I said, come with me.
Then you can start clarifying to them the profession that they should be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're going to have it or you're not. You're either going to be satisfied or you're going to be disgruntled. You're either going to be happy or you're going to be mad. So which do you want to be? Mm-hmm. And to be happy, to be satisfied, to have a lot of discretionary spending, it's going to take a lot and a lot and a lot of work. Hard work.
It does.
It's
going to
take sacrifice.
Like I said, I don't, my position doesn't pay an extreme, it pays a nice income. It doesn't pay six figures, that's for sure. And I never wanted to give it up because I'm just not making enough. I love what I do. I tell people that all the time. But I knew I needed extra, so I created a second career for myself. Because as they began to reach adolescence, band recital, the sports, the uniform, football gear, soccer, cleats, new pads, feet are growing. I don't know how they keep growing every 3 months. All sorts of things were going on. I absolutely had to just take on a second job. I was extremely blessed because my kids still turned out to be decent people because they rarely ever saw their mama. And that's all three of them. All three actually turned out to be nice people and very giving and very serious about whatever it is they do. My son bounces jobs a lot, but you know, seems to be happy in his life, so. I make sure that I didn't shortchange them any opportunity. You know, and the guy, he really tripped me out as he approached his senior year. He was in his junior year in high school. And he said, Mom, I want to get involved in theater art. This guy had been playing football since he was 7 years old. I was like, what? He said, can I read some of your writing? Because I also write. I said, sure. And he was reading through some of my, a fiction thing I was working on. He was reading through my book of poetry that I published and reading stuff. And he said, I want to be able to get a feel. So we would act out some of the stories that I wrote just to get him accustomed to what theater calls emoting. Because he's always this laid-back dude. He really doesn't show much of anything. But he impressed me, you know, with that, just out of the blue. He didn't stay with theater, but that drive to look into something different and not be afraid to try it. I think that would be a great message to get to our youth. Try something that's not your norm. Step out of your comfort zone. Try something new. You know, and being into science and healthcare, doing sales was absolutely new for me, but I definitely sold real estate. And Evan, my son, was my first house sale when I started with Coldwell Banker Burnett, 1998. He and one of his friends were skipping rocks in this little area behind where we lived. And, you know, there was a big grassy area. And one of them threw the rock. It broke a lady's window in her rented townhome. We were renting these townhouses. And the one kid ran. Evan went to her door, rang the doorbell, and apologized and told them what my cell number was, told them that my other daughter was at home and they could call the house and talk to her. And his mom would be happy to take care of the window problem. They were so impressed with that because they were actually planning to look to buy a home. When they found out I was a realtor, they were my first bill. So people started asking me in the office, can we borrow Evan so he could break a window for us?
Well, that's the thing you have to do. You know, with my grandson, we found wallets walking to Cordova and back door, and there's a wallet laying on the floor. We pick it up and try to recognize who we can contact. We can't, it's not successful that way. We give it to the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Other times I found wallets and found the numbers and called the person. They meet me someplace and I give it back to them. So, you know, you have to show them the proper things that you would want them to be when they become on their own. You see someone on the street that's hungry, you go buy them something, come back and give it to them. If you want those things to be played out continuously, then you have to demonstrate it to those who's going to live in that continuous
with a giving
realm.
Spirit, with a completely
yes.
giving spirit. You know, when you're looking for a reciprocal, then it's a selfish act. But you just do it because you want to see something better for that person. It's a done deal. It's just done. Just who I am. This is how I do it.
But, you know, getting back to the education.
Uh-huh.
I think it's very important that you expose your children, you know, especially African-Americans. I don't see African-Americans in aviation. In airport controllers. I don't see them in mining. I don't see them in areas that is so lucrative and actually a lot of fun, too. But they're just not present there.
Okay.
And it's because you're not exposing young people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I mentioned before, the vocational schools in Chicago, they used to have these aviation. As a matter of fact, CBS, Chicago Vocational, that school is broken into wings. And those wings were based in each wing, they still taught the core classes, English. Just the major focus of that wing was whatever that specialty was. If you were a band member, then all of your classes were in the band wing. If you were in an aviation program, all of your classes were in the aviation wing, mechanics. The auto mechanics, the sciences, biology, there was horticulture. you know, the things that that were taught there was amazing. And these kids have this confidence that I can do this stuff. I can do this stuff. You know, we lost a lot of people, a lot of potential strength in the late 80s, early 90s with the big old cocaine and crack wave that swept through the whole country and all of this other stuff. But a lot of those were those high school graduates that have been doing so well. I'm going to have some fun at this college that I'm in now, you know. And we lost them. And now here their grandkids are struggling.
Well, if you don't have a way to build a social capital, and that social capital in a family is your grandparents, because grandparents who came up through a successful, somewhat successful lifestyle in employment, where they're retiring, and I'm not talking about 38-year-old grandparents. I'm talking about grandparents who come around the age where they're supposed to be coming. They are either on a pension, have some sort of income, and they have more than they need, then that extra they can help contribute toward their grandsons and granddaughters' education or whatever. Mm-hmm. That social capital is very, very important that you build that. It helps to make for that functional family.
And it's non-existent and pretty strongly in our community, because a lot of our grandparents, even in their 50s and 60s, were not able to maintain a solid career. And we're in an environment where our parents and the children are in despair. You know, my whole goal in reaching out is to try to come up with solutions to alleviate that despair. Because once we get rid of that, we can truly, truly begin to rebuild the confidence level and the strengthening of our family unit, and subsequently rebuild with the kids, because our teenagers are parents also.
Well, you know, you have to start early. I tell you, there's books out there. One, The Bad Samaritans, a good book. It talks about the career, what they've done to come back to where they are in less than 30 years. You have The Mystery of Capital. That's a good book. Pyramid at the Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. Another good book is called Tribes, TRIBES, by Jewel Coatlin, JOELKOTLIN. Excellent book.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. You really want to read some black fiction, which talks about the things that. There's a book called Black Empire by George Shuler. He was a columnist for the Pittsburgh Courier in the 1930s. Black Empire is a book that you pick up, you can't put down.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got another one called An All-American Deal, a local author here by the name of Bruce Petty. That's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, there's a lot of things out there that people can be reading that they can help better understand how things work. You can read about other people who was at the bottom. And, you know, here's the thing, too. When you're at the bottom, there's no time for recreation, believe me.
Yeah.
You have to work to get yourself out of that bottom. And then other groups will respect you when you have performed a feat like that.
Mm-hmm.
No one respects you if you can't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you got some disability, but under normal circumstances, no one gives you respect if you can't take care of yourself. Other ethnic groups would come in and just run over you.
I'm going to ask you to repeat that book list for me one at a time so I can share it.
Well, one book is
by Jewel.
Jewel Cotlin, K-O-T-L-I-N.
Okay.
It's how race, religion, and identity determine success. And it talks about the different ethnic groups, from the Japanese, the British, the Jews, and it talks about how they have strived, the things that they've done, and where they are in the world today.
Okay.
That's a real good book.
Okay.
Another book is The Mysteries of Capital by a guy by the name of Hernando Santos, I believe his name is. The Mysteries of Capital. Capital is what you have in your pocket every day.
Hernando Santos.
Then Bad Samaritans. The Myth of Free Trade.
The Myth of Free Trade.
Yeah, it talks about how countries, what we think is free trade is really not free trade.
Okay.
And The Secret History of Capitalism is by Hao Joan, H-A-J-O-O-N, Chang, C-H-A-N-G.
Okay. So what is that again?
Bad Samaritan.
Okay. Oh, that's that same book?
Yeah. That's The Secret History of Capitalism. Bad Samaritans.
Oh.
The Mystery of Capital, Hernando de Soto, D-E capital S-O-T-O.
Okay.
It says why capitalism triumphs in the West and fails everywhere else.
Okay.
This one, the other one, another book is The Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. Eradicating Poverty Through Profits. And it talks about how people are looking for capital, but the capital is already there.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to know how to tap into it.
And then there's Black Empire. Mention.
Black Empire by Joyce Shuler. You got another one. It's called An All-American Deal. Those books can be gotten on Amazon for a good price, too.
Okay.
All American Deal by Bruce Petty. It's a good book.
Okay.
I have over 2,000 books in my library.
Yeah, I'm a book fanatic also. If I could have my way, I would have a room where every wall has a bookshelf.
If your child is studying any particular subject, they have to have books from different areas, you know, if no matter what the discipline in, you should have them studying from different points of view on that particular subject.
That's how I grew up. My mom had my very own bookshelf. Actually, I have it right here with me.
If you're studying Calculus One, then you should have books that's produced by different authors on that subject, Calculus One. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing, you want to give your child word problems.
Mm-hmm.
You can find some of them old math books that had, you know, back when the old math books had word problems. They didn't have the way things are situated today. They had word problems. You had to read your way through what it is that's being asked rather than looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Everything is instant. See, you know, when I decided I wanted to play music, I was probably 10 or 11. I come home from school one day, and there's a group of encyclopedias of the great composers. So I had to learn about the great composers. And if I actually proved that I actually read about these great composers, then I would be supported in playing the music. So it took me about a year to really believe them, because there was no music going to happen until I proved that I knew that I could answer those questions.
Well, those are good jobs, playing in an orchestra.
Yeah, yeah. I was so excited. I still have the certificate. As an eighth grader, I won a soloist contest on my French horn. I was playing against high school students, and they were primarily juniors and seniors. I was in Wisconsin. Wisconsin was where I lost the French horn. It's a different situation. That was the jazz thing. That was a sight reading contest. Nope, it was here in Chicago, and I won that soloist contest on the French horn. And I was like, wow, Mom, look what I got. And when my mom passed, I'd forgotten all about that little award, you know. And when she passed and I was going through this metal container she had, where she had everybody's vital documents, birth certificates, everything. And there was my little certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
I bet that made
wow.
you feel great.
Yeah, it did. It did. I'd forgotten all about it. I didn't put my little hands in so many different things as a kid. I forgot all about that, you know. Yeah, but it was important to her enough.
Yeah, another thing you want to teach your children is the value of preparing your own meals.
Mm-hmm.
From a health standpoint and also from an economic standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get them a grocery list.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and buy those groceries. Bring them home and show them how to prepare mm-hmm. that meal. How to make one meal stretch out to two and maybe
red
even three.
Rice, baby. Yes. You
mm-hmm.
know, with our families, that's really not a real big issue. I watched, and you know, it just makes me chuckle sometimes when the kids try to tell me how to create this recipe and how to do, you know, they're telling me all these things. I'm like, oh, where do you think you learned to cook from? Yeah. Where do you think you learned it? Okay, that's great. Awesome. But they're really working at making sure the kids, the little ones, know what it is to have a meal cooked at home, and we sit down and eat.
Mm-hmm. And there's certain tools in the kitchen that you should have. You need to have a food processor and a blender.
I just
major.
Say I need a food processor, but I'm a quick chopper. I grew up. My dad, the way he worked with chopping veggies and all that, to slide straight through it. It might take somebody an hour to cut up some bell pepper, onion, and celery to make some dressing or something. Mine is done in 15 minutes. I'm handling that knife. And
mm-hmm.
I don't have time to prep the food processor so it can do what I want, change the veggies. I can do it faster. Sharpen my knife and I'm on. We're coming to our 2-minute drill.
Okay, I'm going to leave you guys. Try to maybe get back next week and continue the conversation, have something to talk about, to share information. Hopefully the people that's listening can use the information that we talk on and help better their life or help to set
really
a more stable foundation.
Coming by. I feel like now you're a regular staple on the show. You're a regular part of it. You know, I really appreciate your input. It's very sound information. I thank you so much for coming.
And if you appreciate my input, make next time I call, maybe you can comment on one of those books you just read. That really makes me feel good.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay. Have a good night. Well, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
Come on by. My nose is so stuffy. Yeah, I kept trying to watch how it was. I just heard the lady go, 97 seconds. But my clock that says string left says 114 and counting down.
Mm.
I mean, a minute and 11. Oh, that would be 90 seconds.
You're struggling
that's
over there.
That's just a minute and a half when you said that. He was just talking about math.
Oh, boy.
Never mind.
You should have napped a little longer.
I was trying not to have to blow my nose while I'm up, but I'm beginning to feel it really more now. I heard Kelly in the background, but that wasn't bad. But I heard a lot of activity at one point, you know, like papers moving and stuff. I'm like, okay, a lot of background noise.
Oh, yeah?
Cut that out. Yeah.
Oh. It could
have been Bianchi going through, looking up, reading through something. You know, it could have been.
Yeah, because I didn't even move pretty much the whole time. Well, are you going to close with your prayer?
I want to just say a quick prayer. It does, the screen left just showed it ended, but it will continue to record. So I want to thank you, Father God, for giving us this moment to reach out to people, to provide the platform, to give me the inquisitive nature to look for the opportunity, something that will provide such an opportunity. And I know things are tight and things are rough, but this is something I feel is a vital monthly payment that I must make to continue. It's a small contribution when you look at the actual cost to the value it can be to our communities when we receive information from others who are willing to bring their input, and I thank you for no matter what our personal thoughts, our personal needs, personal feelings are, to give us spirit to continue to give to others, because that's what's most important in this life, that we give and that we give in a loving manner as you have commanded. And I thank you so much, Father God. I ask that you continue to bless us with the spirit of giving, with the spirit of learning more and gaining more knowledge and sharing more opportunities. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night, everybody.